Anyway, this morning I'm just going to continue on. We started talking about Joshua from the book of Joshua and really felt that's where the Lord wants us to be. And so we're going to continue on in the book of Joshua for a season. And particularly at the moment talking about where the Israelites are camped by the River Jordan and they're about to cross over to the other side. And I want to look at some aspects of that today. Because, you know, this word of God, I don't know about you guys, but this word challenges me. It's not just there that it tickles our ears and we just feel good about the word of God. It's actually meant to bring change. Amen. It's meant to bring change into our lives, that the Spirit of God would change us, that we might be conformed into the image of Christ. That then we can say, as it have a testimony, that it's not no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Now, when I was growing up, I used to get excited when our family started talking about taking a trip somewhere or going on a holiday. And I would hear mum and dad talking about going somewhere for Christmas, and occasionally we used to go and visit our cousins and our auntie and uncle back in New Zealand in Auckland. And once we even had a church Christmas camp at a place called Pawanui. And we all know that people can talk a lot, right? They can say a lot of stuff. And you know, we talk a lot about things we'd like to do and places that we'd like to visit, and quite often that's just where it ends. But when I saw my mum and dad making preparations, I knew that it was no longer talk. You know, we saw suitcases that were getting unpacked and pulled out and dusted off. Things were starting to get packed and prepared. The car was getting cleaned by dad. The rubbish was taken out, all that sort of stuff ready to go on a trip. There was food and there were snacks that you'd prepare and you take for your journey, right? You guys know all this stuff. This is what we do. And so I knew we were going. This is no longer talk. Something now is going to take place. And so for me, getting ready to go was the sign, and to be honest, sometimes that was the best part. Because personally, I don't really like long hours in the car. I don't like long flights in a plane. I don't like the feeling of being cooped up in one spot for too long, right? And back then, my sister Kim had to put up with me, and I had to put up with her in the back seat of the car. And as most parents would know, and this is how it was for us, we had an invisible lion on the back seat. And if everyone had crossed over that invisible lion, there'd be conflict. Right? So preparation is not always easy, and it can be very difficult, and preparation can be time consuming. But the preparation is actually more important, and at times it can take longer than the trip itself. And it's the same with us in the spiritual realm. We know that Christ is preparing the bride, that's us, right? And preparation is an act of faith. If we really believe that God is going to do something, and we do this year, right? We know that something has changed in the church. Something has changed in the spiritual atmosphere. We're believing for the city. We're praying for the churches. Something has shifted. There's no doubt about it. Something is happening. And so we believe that God is up to something, that He's beginning to prepare His people, that He's beginning to move and to do something different and something new, right? And He has to. He has to. It's the new wineskin for the new wine, right? That's what the Bible tells us. So if God is going to do something, and we believe that He is, and He's preparing us, then it makes sense that we get ready for it. For example, if we're praying and we're believing for rain, then if we want to walk by faith, we should carry an umbrella. Right? It's not rocket science, it's basic stuff. And the same principle seems to be outworked in our own spiritual walk. And it seems that God only gives me what I am prepared to receive. Or I could really say, or should really say, what I have prepared myself to receive. You know, God's trying to perfect the man. And He doesn't just throw a mantle and throw on giftings and things on a person if the character's not right. He'll deal with the character first, to prepare the vessel for what God has, right? And yes, I might have desires for certain things, But the preparation has to come first. And we read through the Bible that it says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make ready. Prepare your heart. Prepare for war. Prepare for battle. Prepare yourself. Go and prepare, it says in Mark 14. Make ready. And so on and on and on and on again in the Word of God, it talks about preparation, about making ready. And so this morning, I will be speaking again from Joshua, and the preparation is what I'm talking about for them to make ready in crossing over the Jordan River. And so we're going to read from Joshua verse 1 this morning, verse 1 to 3, and this is what it says. Yes, chapter 1, verse 1, Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Now, so we see here that God is speaking to Joshua, and Joshua came away because God had spoken to him, absolutely convinced without a shadow of a doubt that God would go with them and that God would give them the land. And he was so certain of this that he ordered the people to get ready for action. And you know, so it should be with us when we read the Word of God, or God speaks to us through his Word, because when we read the Word, it becomes alive to us, right? Or we have prophecy or whatever it might be. When we read the promise of his Word, we should be absolutely convinced without a shadow of turning that his Word is true, that this is his promise for us. Amen. The trouble is, we pick up the Word and it goes through the filter of our mind, and we reason things and doubt things because of the circumstances of life that might be contrary to the promise of his Word, and then we become unsettled in our stance upon the Word. We need to stop that. God spoke to Joshua, and he was absolutely convinced that this was the Word. Therefore, he stood upon it, and he told his people, make ready. This is what God is going to do. Hallelujah. So he spoke to them. Therefore, preparation was the evidence of their faith. Hallelujah. And what God had spoken to them. Now, Joshua 1:10, it says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go and to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess. And later on in Joshua 3:5, it says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. How many know that God is going to do some wonders amongst his people? Amen. There's no doubt about it, because his Word has declared it. It's the latter and the former rain together, the Bible talks about. There will be a harvest that takes place. There will be a move of God that takes place. But God's interested in preparing the character and the people. Hallelujah. Now, the amazing thing in all this and reading the story is that you find out that it's only the prepared people that end up possessing the land. Did you get that? It's only the prepared people, those who are ready to make provisions, those who are ready to prepare themselves, those that were ready to say, here I am, Lord, use me, that we might decrease, that he might increase, right? Now, that in itself is a challenge to us personally, well, it should be, to consider our own preparations. What are we doing? That we might possess the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ that he has given us, remembering it was only the prepared people that crossed over the Jordan River. So it begs the question, when I read something like that in the Word of God, I like to find out, well, what were the preparations that they made? If it was only the prepared people that crossed over, what were the preparations that they made that allowed them to possess and walk in the promises of God? And so we're going to look at a couple of those this morning. And the first preparation was a new diet. lot of people do that as a New Year's resolution, don't they? God said in Joshua 1 verse 11, prepare provisions. Now, here's an entire nation, maybe a few million people, they're about to cross a flooding river because every time of harvest, the Jordan River would be in flood. It would flood its banks. And the first thing that they're told to prepare is a bridge. No. Make some rafts or some boats so they can cross over the water. That would seem the logical thing to do, but that's not what God tells them to do. God didn't tell them to build a bridge, and he didn't tell them to make rafts or a boat to get themselves across the river. God told them to prepare bread, make provisions. And the word bread, the King James uses the word victuals, which means venison. It means meat. Good, solid food. Amen. You know, you have to think about this, because during the 40-year period when they wandered in the wilderness, God had provided them manna to eat. Sovereignly, God had provided this manna. It could sustain them, but it didn't satisfy them. And when we read there, we see that they complained about, you know, they wanted the watermelons and the leeks and all that stuff that was found back in Egypt. But God says, this is what I am giving you. So it didn't satisfy them. It sustained them, but it didn't satisfy them. And they grizzled and they moaned about it. And the point is this. The diet that they had to maintain a life in the wilderness, wandering around in the desert, was not for army troops. And you guys have been called to be soldiers. Whether you like it or not, if you receive Jesus Christ, you are in a battle. God is looking to you. This is why he talks about the armor of God. This is why he talks about our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. It's talking about the power of prayer that God has invested and given to you guys, giving to us as the Christians, that we don't speak about a mountain, but we speak to the mountain. We speak to the circumstance and the situation. The same anointing that raised Christ from the dead abides in you. Hallelujah. This is why he says that when the Lord was talking to Jesus, saying, I have bestowed a kingdom upon you, and the same kingdom that has been bestowed upon me, I bestow upon you. He's given us the keys of the kingdom, the authority to walk in the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we can lay hands on the sick and see them healed. Hallelujah. This is why we can speak into situations and circumstances and see things change. Hallelujah. And so they needed something solid because they were called to be an army. And the new season for these guys was to conquer and to settle into a new land. Amen? And a lot of Christians I know, they exist on a desert diet. That means it's just enough to keep them alive. But if you want to move into the land of promise, there has to be a change in your diet. The intake has to increase. Hallelujah. And if we're believing for a move of God upon our families and upon our church and in this city, then our diet needs to change. The preparation needs to change. The focus needs to change. The intention needs to change. And of course, I'm talking about your personal time and relationship with the Lord. You know, we were talking, spent some time with Brian and Daphne this week, and it was quite amazing. They were talking about people that had been to the throne room of God, or that walked so close with God, like Enoch. He just literally was no more. He's a character in the Bible for those who don't know. There's been some forefathers in the faith that walked in such an anointing that it was incredible. And I remember he was telling us some stories about a guy that was talking about the crystal sea around the throne room of God. And as he's sitting there listening to this minister, he's thinking to himself, he's seen it. And he spoke to him afterwards and got to spend some time with this guy, and he had. God had taken him to some incredible visions and places in his prayer life. And I thought, man, that's where I want to be. But it took that requirement of seeking the Lord and pressing to God in an intimate relationship, right? And there's no reason why each and every one of us couldn't experience that and walk like that. It just comes down to a discipline. It comes down to a passion. It comes down to wanting to seek Him above all else. I know we're restricted in time and everything else, but God needs to be included in our lives, not excluded. You know, naturally speaking, when you look at a bodybuilder or an athlete, it's all about the intake. It's about what they put in. Amen. What you put in. And those like the Wigglesworths and the Jonathan Edwards and Edward Miller and all those guys, they had a big intake on the diet of Christ. And there's a little saying, I shared it this week, and this is what it says. It says, the strength and stamina you have in the conflicts of life will be determined by the quality of nourishment you receive from your time with the Lord. That's where it starts. That's the foundation of everything, is your relationship with Christ and your walk with Him. Everything comes from that. Everything. But unfortunately, He doesn't really get a look in. And so the first preparation they were given was a change of diet. They had to change to a diet that would sustain them rather than just satisfy them. And God is wanting us to press into Him like we have never pressed into Him before. You know, even Psalms 55:22 says to cast your burden on the Lord. We're not meant to carry around the weights and the burdens of this world, that circumstances of life will just weigh us down. We all go through difficulty. Stuff's always happening in people's life, but we have to get good at going to the cross, getting before the Lord and saying, Lord, this is what your word declares. I'm not wearing this. I'm not having this. You said that you give me a peace that surpasses all understanding. I receive that in Jesus' name. And I reject this burden and the circumstance in the name of Jesus, and I receive your peace into my life. That's just being practical with the Word of God. And then it says in Psalms 55, that as we cast our burden upon the Lord, that He shall sustain you. Not just satisfy you, but He will sustain you. And He will never permit the righteous to be moved. If we stand upon the Word of God, we shall not be moved. Let everything else be like sinking sand. Amen. But if we're prepared to stand upon the Word of God, He is an anchor to our soul, and we shall not be moved. Hallelujah. So Christ becomes our substance as the bread of life for us, and without feasting upon Him regularly, that sustenance that comes from Him, it's impossible to have the nourishment to endure the battle and be the overcomer that God has equipped you and called you to be. Because that's what He says in the book of Revelation. He says that you are overcomers. Amen. But we need to learn how to overcome by walking close to Christ. It's the only way it happens. Are you with me, church? Haven't lost you? You still love me? Hallelujah. Now, the second part of their preparation was a delay. Now, this is probably more surprising than the first. In Joshua 1:11, we're told there was going to be a 3-day delay. Now, you think about it. These guys have wandered around for 40 years in the wilderness. You think they're more than ready, right? They're ready to go. We've wandered around for 40 years. Here we are, this Jordan River. We're ready to go. And what does God say? I want you to wait for 3 more days. Now, one of the things I have learned, and I'm sure you might have picked up on this, is that God never seems to be in a hurry. Right? And for me, one of the toughest things I have to do at times is wait. We don't like it. We seriously do not like it. But God never wastes time. And every delay is important in His plan. And so God used this delay to accomplish a couple of things. The first one He did, it was a time of observation for the people. You don't forget, these people had to camp in front of a flooded, swollen river for 3 days. And so the question I ask, well, what did they do during these 3 days? Now you think about it, they've been told that they're going to cross this river, then they have to sit right there and look at it for 3 days. And it's not just a little creek. This is a swollen, flooded river. The current is moving. It is flowing, right? And they would have watched this swollen river and it would have challenged them. They would have looked at this swollen river and perhaps said, we're going to cross that. We don't have a bridge. We don't have boats. I don't have any little floaties I can blow up and put on my arms. We've got nothing and we're going to cross this river. And this river would have been moving, right? And they would have looked at it and said, this is impossible, it can't be done. And they probably couldn't even swim. Yet they know that God had said, we're going to cross over this river. So he gets them to sit down and look at the impossibility. It's going to mess with you. So God was letting that impossibility sink into their minds, right? They had to, you see, because they had to learn, just as we do, we have to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. And maybe God has dealt with you that way. I know he has with me and Sharon. Many times he has placed us down beside the Jordan of our life and he has forced us to look at it. We have looked at bills. We have looked at the lack of income. We've looked at the inability to meet those bills. We have wondered what we might eat at times. We've even wondered where we might live when it looked like we were going to be evicted and all sorts of stuff was going to happen. Our world was in a mess. We've looked at all these things and circumstances that have come into our life. And the more I looked, the more impossible the situation seemed. And especially for men, because we have a logical mind, right? And we like to look and put things, well, that if we do this, that's going to happen. If I do that, this is going to happen. If I pay that, I'll have this left and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? A lot of times it doesn't work with the Lord. But 1 + 1 = 3 with God. Did you know that? It just doesn't make sense. It's like the story I shared about the tithe. You know, we have 10 donuts and God requires one donut as a tithe. But he owns all the donuts. The trouble is we need 12 donuts, but we only have 10. But this is the thing, we're not owners, we're only stewards. So if God owns the finances, they're his anyway. So he tests us and lets us look at the impossibility to see our stewardship and to see our faith and to see our stance upon the word of God, whether we are standing there and believing it to be true or not. Do you hear what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And so the more I looked, the more impossible the circumstances seemed. And I remember crying out to God because I knew that he was a deliverer. And I was crying out to God that he might be my deliverer. And yet I was wondering how God could cause us to be in such a mess. Aren't we meant to be favored? Aren't we meant to be blessed? And yet look at this mess that is going on in my life. Produces character. How else is God going to do it? You know, I was wondering how things were going to change. And I remember asking the Lord why he was refusing to remove the problem. Why he was refusing to change the circumstance. And the problem seemed to remain no matter what we did. I could see no boats. I could see no bridges. There was no way of crossing over to get through the situation. And after a while, it becomes really obvious, and Sharon is better at this than me, that there was no other solution except God. We realized that because of the situation, it could only be God. And when you become convinced that it's only God and God alone who is able, you begin to take your hands off, or you throw your hands up in the air and you say, whatever. And you surrender, right? You come to a place of surrender. Or it quite often happens on your knees before the Lord, crying before God and say, Lord, I don't understand, but I just take my hands off, whatever. Or the real urgent prayers, help. Right, those real quick ones. Because you've already said everything else. And and so you come to that place. And we say we know this. We know that we need to take our hands off and surrender. But it's actually the last thing that we do. It truly is. But finally, God has some space. And he's got your attention to show himself strong on your behalf. Amen. And I'm not just talking about some positive words, because sometimes words can be cheap. And we need to be encouraging to one another. You know, we say, it'll be all right, don't worry, God's got this. Right? I'm talking about God using the circumstance to bring about a change of thinking. And if God can change our mindset to have the mind of Christ, then not just the thinking should change, but the stance and the position should also change. Amen. So this delay in crossing the Jordan, it brought about a personal confrontation to help produce character, faith, and trust in God. And God uses the waiting period to confirm His promise. Now, quite often the frustration, because we do get frustrated, quite often the frustration, the delay, the situation is what our attention is naturally drawn to. But somehow we've got to naturally have our attention and our focus drawn to the Word of God, because that's our saving grace. And we've got to be quick to cast our burdens upon the Lord, for He cares for us, amen? To receive His peace and not be anxious for nothing. Like at the end of Matthew where it says there's enough worries for today to worry about tomorrow. So somehow we need to learn how to walk in this. It's not easy, but if we're prepared to trust God, it gets easier. And so also this delay was a time of separation. You know, when Moses was still alive, the tribes of Reuben and Gad and half a tribe of Manasseh, they liked the wilderness. And they wanted to stay in an area close to the Jordan River. It was fertile land, they had their livestock, and they wanted to stay and they wanted to settle down on that side of the Jordan. They actually preferred the wilderness. Just like it is that we can also, and this is the challenge for us, we can also become too comfortable with our current position and remain where we are at. It's very easy just to come to church and sit in the seat and go about our life and come back and think we're doing a service to God, but God has called each and every one of us. It's not just coming and sitting on a seat. We're to be the church. Amen. So Joshua 1 verse 12 to 15 tells us this is what happens. And it tells us that 2.5 tribes were allowed to stay, but they first had to go over and fight with the rest of them, and then they could return to the other side of the Jordan and stay there and live. And so they agreed. And it's very interesting when you read this and you think about it, that it shows us that God will let you choose the level of your Christian experience, because God has given you free will. He's not going to muscle you into a position or a circumstance. He allows it up to you. You make of it what you will. If you want to draw close to Him, He will draw close to you. If you're happy just coming into the seat, singing some songs and clapping your hands and going home, then that's all it is to you. But it's a whole lot more than that. He forces no one to enter into victory. You run the race and you determine your involvement or obedience to it. And if the wilderness is what you want, then the wilderness is what you will have. God will allow that. And the descendants of those tribes, unfortunately, they're found in every church. They do their share of fighting, but they always return to their spiritual wilderness, refusing to live in the place that Christ has won for them. And they stay on the other side of the river, the Jordan, exactly as we've just read. God has so much more for His church. Amen. He has called His church a people of power. We are not a defeated people. Hallelujah. But I tell you, in these days, God is just breaking the scales from our eyes that they might be flooded with His glorious light, that we might be able to behold Him at His promise of His word and begin to stand and see these things happen. Because the church needs to change. This place should be a place of life. Hallelujah. A place of miracles. A place of salvation and deliverance, where there's a setting free of the captive and the anointing flows. And we know that where the anointing is, it breaks yokes. Hallelujah. And there's freedom in life. This is our portion. This is how it should be for us. And God is in the process of doing this to cause His church to be alive, because we're His bride. And you know, when you find your husband or you find your wife, you find someone that's an equal. I'm not saying that we are God. There's only one God. But he's going to perfect his bride that there might be an equal. A co-laborer with him, the Bible talks about. And the tragic end to the story is that these 2.5 tribes, they were the first to be conquered and carried into captivity by the Assyrians when they attacked years later. And that tells you that when real testing comes, the first to falter and fail are those who choose to live on the wrong side of the Jordan because they have not prepared themselves. You know, if you really want to be serious about this in black and white, it's actually an independent spirit. That's what it is. God had already told them, I'm giving you this land. This is my preparation for you. This is my promise for you. This is what I want you to do. I want you to cross over. I want you to enter in, and I want you to receive, and I want you to walk in what I have made a way for you where there seems no way, and I've opened a door that only that man can open, but only God can open. And here they are saying, I don't want that. I want to do what's right in my own eyes. That's independence. So 2.5 tribes stayed behind. And because of what God wanted to do in their lives, and because of what God wants to do in this church, and what he wants to do with his people, the last thing is there was a new dedication. Because he said after the period of waiting, Joshua told the people to consecrate themselves. And the last time they had heard that command was when Moses gave the same command when he went up Mount Sinai to receive the law. And he told the people to consecrate themselves so they will be ready to hear God's word upon his return. Now, God was about to do something new. God was about to take his people into a new place. They were about to cross over this Jordan River, and they needed a new dedication. They needed a new commitment. They needed a new faithfulness. And consecrate just literally means to purify, to sanctify, to set apart something for God's use. And the Bible tells us that our lives are not our own. They're meant to be set apart for his use. Amen. But this world we live in has a spirit of self. It's all about me, right? That's the world. That's not God. It's all about him. Love the Lord your God first, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Him first, then outward to others. That's how it's meant to be. So there is a sense in which God sanctifies us, and there's another sense in which we sanctify ourselves. And let me explain this. By our salvation, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we are sanctified and we are set apart for God's use, right? But the Bible also commands us to purify ourselves, 1 John 3 verse 3, to set ourselves apart from the filthiness of the world, and this is a must for a life of victory. And you know, we should have a willingness to confront issues in our life. I'm not saying they're going to be changed just like that, but it needs to be a heart to pursue him. And over the course of time, God will do the work. Amen? So there needs to be a willingness to confess it and to forsake it and say, Lord, help me in this area I'm struggling with, whatever it is. And he meets you where you're at. Because God demands holiness because he's called us to be a holy people. Now, Exodus 19 shows that this process of purification, it required the people to wash their garments. And this is what the Lord also said to Moses. He said, go to tell the people to consecrate themselves today and tomorrow and let them wash their garments. Now, the reason that it mentions garments is that garments are representative of our lives. And, you know, if I came here to church this morning and I had a big, massive stain of tomato sauce from my sausage roll on the way or something like that, then I would be standing here and you would see this big stain. And you go, wow, look at that big stain. And the thing is, the reason God wants us to wash our garments is that we might be seen spotless before men and before him. Because we're meant to represent Christ in our lives. And if we've got the look of the world on us and the stench of the world upon us, then how can we represent Christ when we're just no different from the world? So this is why he's saying, I want you to wash your garments that you might be presented clean. He's not saying you're going to be presented perfect, right? It's not what I'm saying. We've all got our problems and our issues, and God meets us where we're at. But he said, this is the intent of the heart, that you wash the garment that you might be presentable as an ambassador for the kingdom of God in this city and in this world, that others might see. They might see the hope of glory. They might see the answer to what they're looking for, because you are his ambassador and you are his hands and feet. Hallelujah, that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And I share all this because I know there is a season coming where I know that you guys do too, that there's a season coming that we've not seen before, that we've not walked in before, that even the church or the history of the church has not experienced before. I know God is beginning to prepare his church because of the days ahead, and it's not going to be the same. It may not even be the format like we've had this morning. Who knows? It's not my church, it's his. And so long as he has me here as the pastor, I'll stand here. But you know, he can easily take me out or get someone else either. And so we need to hang on things lightly, because we're not the owners, we're the stewards. And we serve him and the function that he has called us to. Hallelujah. And so I believe that as a church, we've been camped beside the Jordan, and we've been camped there for a while. And the challenge is one of preparation. God is asking us to prepare ourselves, to consecrate ourselves. 2.5 tribes didn't want to move. They were comfortable. Habit patterns, things that are already established in their way, and it becomes hard to change those things. I understand. But God wants us to start. He wants us to try. You know, we can talk the talk, but talk is cheap and the time for talk's over. We want God. We want a move of God. We don't want the facade of church. We want the real deal in church. Amen. That this is not just a place of entertainment. It's a place of life and a place where the Holy Spirit can move. And, you know, we're wanting to know him more. We're wanting to encounter him more. We want to see him. We want to know his presence. We want to see people set free and healed. Amen. We want to see people's lives restored and marriages restored, and the broken and the hurting and the lost found again in Jesus' mighty name. But it can only happen when there's a freedom and a liberty in this place, and his people have set themselves apart and begin to make the preparation so God is able to move and do what he wants to do. And I truly believe in each and every one of you this morning. I do. Because I know that Jeremiah said, I've come to give you a future and a hope. So it's not about my words, and it's nothing to do with me. It's about what his word has said for you. And his word says that he has called you by name. He knew you before you were even formed in the womb. And he purposed your life to be brought forth into this world because he loves you so much and he has a purpose for your life. So every single one of us here has a calling and a purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. No one is insignificant, but everyone has the ability to shake this world and to represent Christ and do wonders that would give him the glory. Every single person. And this is not to hype you up. This is the word of God. It's not my words. This is what God said. And so I want to encourage you to start putting into place eternal preparations, the things that really matter. Changes into your life. Let's allow prayer to arise. The church has to again learn how to forge a half-decent prayer life. It's missing in the church. But yet that's what everything is established upon. And that was the heart cry of Jesus when he said to his disciples, can you not pray with me 1 hour? And he's saying it again to the church. Can you not pray with me 1 hour? Because this is the hour that he's calling the church to arise and his people to put things into place that need to be sorted out. You know, we can fool others and we're good at having a facade. We know how to talk the talk and all that, but we can't fool God. Jesus knows us so well. And he's just wanting us to begin to get serious, because he's called us sons and daughters of the Most High God. And if we're honest, we probably already know what we need to start doing and what needs to change. We don't really need people to point the finger. We already know. Because that's the Spirit of God reminding us, hey, bit of a nudge here and there. You need to sort this out. Come on, it's about time you did this. Prepare yourself, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It's just closer than what we think, I believe it. You think last year went quick, we've already turned over a month this year. Before we know it, God's going to be rocking up and things are going to be moving. And we're going to think, man, I wish I had made some preparations because now I'm scrambling. So here's your homework. School's back, so why can't church be back? We had a week off last week. We couldn't use this hall. They redid the floors. I want us to start praying with an intention for our meetings here in this church. To really start, and I know we are, but let's pray with an expectation. We don't just come here and oh great, I'm going to read some words on a wall. We're here for a heart surrendered to Him. When we worship God, it's not just doing a formality, it's deep calling unto deep. We are celebrating that He's alive and He's risen and He's coming again. We're giving Him glory. Amen. Something is happening one to another in worship. It's not a formality. So we should expect the presence of God to fall in this place like it did at Solomon's temple. With the glory cloud filled the temple, we should have an expectation that God is going to sweep through this place and we're going to know Him so real and so tangibly, amen? Why can't we start praying for that? Praying for our ears to be open that we might hear what the Spirit of God would say to the church. For a move of God. To pray for these ones who are lost. You know, the young people these days know nothing of the Lord. Yet He died for them. And we need to start praying them into the kingdom of God for those divine appointments and those connections that we might see those who are bound being set free in Jesus' mighty name. To begin to pray for this. And because we're praying, it's not just a token prayer. We are praying by faith. We are praying the word of God. This is what You did, Lord. Therefore. And then we should have an expectation. For the release of miracles and gifting. We've seen plenty of healing in this place, but let the giftings that people have begin to come forth. Amen. For the addicted, for the hurting, for the broken, for the lost, these ones we can get beside and help, because you might be the only person that shows some love towards someone to help them out of their situation. It might be practical. I know Yvonne, and I'll just share your story, where she was telling us she really felt to talk to this lady where she lives, and the Lord told her, bake her a cake or whatever it was. Is that right? And so she's done that, and it's opened up the door for a cup of tea and some fellowship. So practical things. It doesn't take much. Amen. Hallelujah. And it starts by us getting before the Lord on a bended knee. You know, there's a common portion of scripture we know in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And you know, it's so real and it's so pertinent to this time and this season. And it says, if My people that are called by My name, the first thing is, are we called by His name? He tells us He's called us by name. So He's speaking to every Christian. If My people that are called by My name would humble themselves and pray. He says, seek My face. So we're praying and we're seeking Him and Him alone, because we can't do this. We don't have the ability to do this. It's only by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it says, if My people who are called by My name shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn. So it's not just a matter of seeking Him and praying. It says, and turn. You know, that means repentance. Repentance just means to turn away, turn again, turn around. Turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. There's some basic conditions there, but you know, if we will do that and apply that, he tells us the promise that He will hear, He will forgive and he will heal. This land, this city needs healing. It needs the hand of God and the move of God. And I tell you what, we better start believing that our God is able. And it's like I've said, if God can save a whole city of Nineveh in the Bible, he can save the Redland city. He can save Brisbane. Why can't this city be the city that God moves in? Why not? Why can't we have an expectation for that? Why can't we begin to pray for that? It's not blab it and grab it and claim it and frame it. It's none of that sort of stuff. This is what the promise says in the Word of God. And you have to base your faith upon the Word of God. Otherwise, it's just presumption. And here God says, if you will do these things, this is what I will do. Can we do that this morning, church?